Forget it for now. She is not Yemanja. I am not Gianni Barreto, whoever.
She says you are. She recognized you. She says she studied you carefully while we were at the cafe. Did you notice her?
Yes.
She said you have the identical legs of her husband, the same stomach muscles from pulling the fishnets, the same proportion between your shoulders and your hips. She said the slight slash of your navel is identical.
Laura.
Well, she should know.
I have never pulled fishnets.
You have the muscles from Gianni Barreto.
Laura, not many Brazilians have my basic light coloring.
Some do. Gianni Barreto did. Your heads are identical, she says. Your eyes.
I had a similarity to the husband of the woman in the green dress, too.
Similarity has nothing to do with it. She says you are Gianni Barreto, her husband.
Who was murdered 47 years ago.
Yes.
I'm a ghost, is that what you're saying?
Partly that. No. You are yourself. You are Gianni Barreto. You see, you came to Brazil. You see why, don't you?
Fletch exhaled deeply.
What is the old woman's name?
Idalina. Idalina Barreto.
What bothers me is that you listened to her. The doorman...
Why not?
Laura turned the page of the magazine. She was talking.
Laura, you seem to have no regard for the real past, yet you listen to these impossibilities.
She was studying some health chart in the magazine.
What's real?
Which is more real to you?
Bananas are good for potassium, she said.
I think I knew that.
You won't let me explain. You won't explain to me.
Forget Idalina Barreto as much as you can for now.
She flung the magazine aside and looked at him standing between the window and the bureau.
How are we to know each other? He asked.
She rolled more onto her back and held one leg, one arm in the air.
By sharing your banana with me.
He laughed.
I need more potassium.
Potassium gluconate, I hope.
Come, come, Gianni. I want some more of your potassium.
I'm not Gianni.
Gianni's potassium, your potassium. Harvest your banana and feed me your potassium.
You're crazy.
Come, come, my Gianni. It is ripe. I see that it is ripe. I will peel it with my teeth. Let me taste your banana.
Where's my shoe? He regretted kneeling on the floor in his long white trousers to look under the bed for his shoe. She came into the room and stopped. In the bathroom, she had bathed and done her hair and also dressed in white slacks and an open white shirt.
Why is this stone under our bed?
Sitting back on his haunches, he showed her the small carved stone he found under the bed.
It's a toad.
It looks like a toad.
That, she said.
Why is there a stone toad under our bed?
The maid must have left it there.
The maid left a stone toad under our bed?
Put it back, Laura said. It may be important to her.
Chapter 4.
My father's here.
Laura dumped 3 teaspoons full of sugar into her cachaça.
I hear his voice.
Courteously, Fletch took his glass of cachaça from the silver tray held out to him by a houseman. Cachaça is a brandy made of sugarcane juice. In Brazil, it is courteous to offer guests cachaça. It is courteous of guests to accept cachaça. Fletch had tried it with some added sugar, much added sugar, no added sugar. Cachaça was a taste he had not acquired. With his glass of cachaça in hand, he followed Laura out onto the terrace. Teodomiro da Costa's house was built somewhat upside down. Entering at street level, one went downstairs to the bedrooms and a small family sitting room, upstairs to the grand living room filled with splendid paintings and other objets d'art, upstairs again to a huge reception room complete with full bar. Off the reception room, high above Avenida Epitácio Pessoa, overlooking the truly beautiful lagoon Rodrigo de Freitas, was a handsome terrace decorated with green, red, yellow, flowering jungle plants. Now in the reception room, a long table had been set with crystal and silver for 12.
Mateo Domiro da Costa did well exchanging currencies and commodities. Fletch had invested his money with him. On the terrace, Laura and Otavio were greeting each other with hugs and kisses and rapid talk in Brazilian Portuguese. Wordlessly, Otavio then shook Fletch's hand. Boa noite, Fletch said. Otavio has come here to meet with his publisher, Laura said. He is staying nearby with Alfredo and Gloria. Have you met them? Alfredo is a marvelous man, true Brazilian, so full of life, generous to a fault. Gloria is a marvelous woman, truly bright, so charming, with a large feminine soul. Are they here? Laura looked around at the other people on the terrace. I don't see them.
They are preparing for the Canecao ball tomorrow night, Otavio said. I do not need to prepare. Poets are born in disguise.
And your mother? Fletch asked Laura. She did not come from Bahia?
My mother, said Laura.
Orchids you can never leave.
They are worse than children, agreed Otavio.
Worse than I was, anyway, Laura said.
Teodomiro da Costa came across the terrace to them. He was a tall man of 60 with the head of a bald eagle.
Fletcher, it is good to have you back. Did you enjoy Bahia?
Of course.
Good. For dinner we are having vatapa, a typical dish from Bahia.
Fletch smiled and took Laura's free hand. I made friends there.
But Cavalcanti is my friend.
Teo kissed Laura on the cheek.
And Laura too.
Otavio said, we are all friends.
Teo took Fletch's cachaça and placed it on the tray of a passing houseman. He said something to the houseman.
I have ordered you a screwdriver, he said to Fletch.
Is it called a screwdriver in Portuguese?
Teo laughed.
I called it orange juice, vodka, and ice.
I must figure out the words for it.
Not hard.
To say it rapidly, with firmness.
Come, I want you to meet Da Silva.
Slowly, Teo guided Fletch by the elbow across the terrace.
Is Laura with you or with her father?
With me.
Ah, you are so lucky.
Teo then introduced Fletch to another 60-year-old businessman, Aloysio Da Silva. Immediately, Da Silva said,
you must come to my office. I have a new computer system, the very latest, digital, from your country.
I would be very interested in it.
Yes, you must come tell me what you think.
The houseman brought Fletch his screwdriver.
Also, perhaps you have noticed my new building going up. How long have you been in Rio?
I was here for 3 weeks, and then I was in Bahia for 2 weeks. I am back 3 days.
Then perhaps you have not noticed my building.
Rio is so vibrant.
Of course. It is in the central, near Avenida Rio Branco.
I did notice a new building going up there, very big.
Very big. You must come and see it with me. You'd be very interested.
I'd like that.
It is amazing what a difference computers make when it comes to building a building.
Marília Diniz appeared with her glass of cachaça. She kissed Aloysio and Fletch on their cheeks.
Are you well, Aloysio? Of course.
Rich?
Of course.
Marília forever remained a surprise to Fletch. She had to be the only person in Rio with no sun color in her face. She saw people from a different perspective. Marília, Fletch said, something happened to us after we left you.
Something always happens in Rio.
She sipped her cachaça.
Listen, Teo has some new paintings. He has promised to show us them after dinner.
Otavio, perhaps you would help me to understand something.
Yes?
Fletch and Otavio Cavalcanti stood alone at the edge of the terrace, looking at the moonlight on the lagoon. Otavio was drinking scotch and water. In Brazil, even distinguished scholars and poets are to be called by their first names. Does the name Idalina Barreto mean anything to you?
No.
She's not a famous eccentric?
Not that I know.
Laura was across the terrace talking with the Vianas. I wonder if it is a scam.
A what?
A swindle, some sort of confidence trick.
Ah, yes, trick.
This afternoon, Laura and I were accosted by an old woman,
A macumbeira of some sort, maybe, dressed in a long white gown. An old woman. She said her name is Idalina Barreto.
From the terrace, the samba drums could be heard only faintly.
Yes?
She said I was her husband.
Ottavio turned his head to look at Fletch.
Her dead husband, Gianni Barreto, a sailor, father of her children.
Yes?
That Gianni was murdered when he was young, at my age, 47 years ago.
Yes.
Are you hearing me?
Naturally.
She demands that I tell her who murdered me.
Ottavio was looking at Fletch as had Laura, as had the doorman at the Hotel Yellow Parrot. Then his eyes shifted in a circle around Fletch's head.
Will you help me to understand this?
Then Ottavio took a drink.
What's there to understand?
At the long table at dinner, they talked of the magic in much Brazilian food which provides so much energy, the masses of sugar usually placed in the coffee, in the cachaça, in the sweetness of cachaça anyway, the dende oil and the vatapa they were having for dinner. The drink, guaraná, is without alcohol and also gives energy. It was said by the Indians that it cleared the blood channels going to and coming from the heart. Fletch had discovered that it relieved tiredness. Down the table, Laura said,
"Bananas are good for you, too. There is potassium in bananas."
Then Marilia asked about the paintings Theo had bought.
"I'll show them to you after dinner. Perhaps first Laura will play for us."
"Please," said the Viana woman.
"Certainly."
"Then I will show them to you," Theo said.
Aloysio da Silva asked Fletch,
"Have you visited the Museo de Arte Moderna?"
"Yes."
"I should think you'd be very interested in that building."
"I am very interested in the building. It is a wonderful building, and I had a splendid lunch there."
The people at table became silent.
"There were few paintings in the museum when I was there."
"Ah, yes," Marilia said.
"I was thinking of the building," Aloysio said.
"There was a fire," Theo said.
"All the paintings were burned up," the Viana woman said. "Very sad."
"Not all. A few were left," Viana said.
Aloysio blinked at his plate.
"I was thinking the building would interest you."
Fletch said,
"The paintings in the museum got burned. Is this another case of queima de arquivo?"
The silence at the table was complete. From the head of the table, Teodomiro da Costa was looking down at Fletch. A virus a few years before had given da Costa's left eye a permanent hooded effect, which became worse when he was tired or wished to use it on someone. He was now using it on Fletch.
"It is a good thing, I think," Fletch said into the silence, "for the artists of each generation to destroy the past, to begin again. I think perhaps it is necessary for them."
It was many moments then before conversation flowed smoothly again.
"You have Laura, I see. I am glad."
Viana sat next to Fletch on the divan in the living room. They were waiting for Laura Soares to play the piano.
"You must be very careful of women in Rio."
"You must be very careful of women everywhere."
"That is true. But women in Rio..."
He sipped his coffee.
"Even I, late at night, have found myself dancing with one of them. A man, you know. An operated on man. It is more easy than you think to be tricked."
"Not anything is as it seems in Brazil," Fletch said.
"It is easy to be tricked."
Laura played first some Villa Lobos, of course, then some of her own arrangements of the compositions of Milton Nascimento, somehow keeping in balance his romantic sweetness, his folkloric virility, his always progressing, complicated, mysterious melodic lines. At the side of the room, in a deep armchair, Ottavio Cavalcanti dozed over his coffee cup. Then she played arrangements of other deeply folkloric Brazilian music Fletch did not recognize. Laura Soares must have used piano technique she learned at the London Conservatory, but she played none of the music she had learned there. After everyone except Ottavio, her father, had applauded, Laura said, "Not so good."
She smiled at Fletch. I have practiced little the last 2 weeks.
We have come to see your new paintings, Theo.
So the young man first into the reception room announced. With his wide-open shirt and slacks, he wore a forest green cape, a green buccaneer hat, green shoes. Immediately his eyes found Fletch across the room.
I've been waiting for you, Theo said from the bar.
Just suddenly they were there, four young men dressed expensively, tailored perfectly, each in his own style, moving slowly, expectantly into the big reception room at the top of the house like a theatrical troupe taking over a stage. All but one had lithe bodies, the graceful ways of moving one would expect from fencers, acrobats, or gymnasts. The fourth was heavier, duller in the eye, maybe a little drunk, and moved unevenly.
Tonino!
The women cried. The Viana woman smothered him with kisses.
Tito! Orlando!
No one seemed to greet the fourth young man immediately. Someone finally said, Norival, how do you find yourself? Tito was dressed entirely in black. His shirt and slacks had to have been fitted to him while they were wet. No seams showed in his clothes. Orlando wore blue stripes down the sides of his white slacks, blue epaulettes on his shoulders. And Norival was dressed as expensively, but somehow the earth-brown pockets in his light green slacks and shirts did not seem so amusing. The people had surrounded the four young men, three of whom were uncommonly handsome, and were talking in Portuguese and laughing. Laura had gone to give each of them a hug and kisses. Fletch ordered a guaraná from the barman. Not only had the dinner been cleared from the long table in the reception room during Laura's recital, the long table itself had disappeared. Their backs to the room, some paintings had been placed on the floor along one wall. One easel had been set up in the best light of that room. Now Tonino stood in that light, in front of the easel, making gestures with his arms which made his green cape ripple in that light. Whatever he was saying was making the people around him laugh. He seemed to be charming even his companions, Tito, Orlando, and Norival. Laura's eyes were shining happily when she came back to Fletch. Who are they? He asked.
The Tap Dancers. They are called the Tap Dancers, just friends of each other. It's just a name.
Do they dance?
You mean professionally?
Yes.
No.
Sing?
No.
Do tricks?
They are just friends.
Fashionable, I think. Aren't they sleek?
Hand emerging from his cape, Tonino came forward to shake hands with Fletch.
Tonino,
Laura said happily.
This is I am Fletcher.
Ah, yes.
Tonino's eyes were as brilliant as gems and as active as boiling water.
Gianni Barreto, I am Tonino Braga.
You know about that?
Fletch shook hands. Tonino flung his arms up, sending his cape back over his shoulders. Clearly, in his eyes, he was enjoying his own act. Possibly, confident in his virility, he was satirizing fashion, fashionable behavior.
The whole world knows about that.
Theo da Costa came into the group. Laura said something to Tonino in Portuguese. Tonino answered briefly, and she laughed.
Fletcher, Theo da Costa said quietly, within the next day or so, I would like to talk with you, privately.
Of course.
Your father is not here, not looking into your life.
With great dignity, Teo's face was averted.
Of course, Theo, I'd appreciate it. Come, Theo,
Tonino exclaimed.
The paintings, we came to see your new paintings.
One by one, Theo placed the paintings on the easel and let his guests study, enjoy them. They were by Marciere, Bianco, Portinari, Terus, Di Cavalcanti, Virgilino. For the most part, they were clear, even bold, in the bright, solid earth colors. Especially did Fletch like one of a mother and child, another of a child with a cage. All the rhythms and colors and feelings and mysteries of Brazil were in the paintings to Fletch. Later, Fletch sat on the divan next to the sleepy Ottavio Cavalcanti.
You like the paintings? Ottavio asked.
Very much.
Better than the museum building?
Ottavio smiled.
You are a North American. Everyone expects your passion to be for buildings and computers and other machines.
Yes.
Teo perhaps has the best collection now that the museum is just a wonderful building again.
He must be careful of fire.
To that, Ottavio did not respond.
Perhaps you can tell me this, Fletch said to Ottavio. Getting dressed tonight, looking for a shoe, I discovered a small carved stone under my bed.
Ottavio raised one eyebrow.
A small stone. It was carved into a toad, a frog.
Ottavio sighed.
Why would the maid put a stone toad under my bed?
Slowly, heavily, Ottavio Cavalcanti lifted himself off the divan. He went to the bar and got himself a scotch and water.
Come on!
Laura Samba walked across the room, holding her hands out to Fletch. He sat alone on the divan, thinking of Ila dos Caicaras. He was thinking of himself as Ila dos Caicaras, a small island in the lagoon.
I worked enough. I played a little concert. Let's go with the tap dancers.
Where are they going? Ottavio was drinking alone at the bar.
7:06. Tonino wants us to go with them, to hear the music, to dance.
Everyone?
Just you and me, and the tap dancers.
Fletch got up from the divan.
Why do I keep asking your father questions?
Great scholar. I have never gotten an answer yet. Laura glanced at her father at the bar.
Come on, if you have foolish questions, the tap dancers will have foolish answers for you. You'll get along fine together.
Chapter 5.
Tonino must always make an entrance,
Laura said in the dark nightclub.
I think he does so on purpose.
Do you really think so? Fletch mocked. Fletch and Laura had driven in his yellow two-seater MP convertible directly from the sidewalk in front of Da Costa's house to the sidewalk in front of 706. The tap dancers had disappeared in their own black four-door galaxy. At the door, Laura spoke to a young waiter, and instantly three tables for two were pushed together for them. Of course, the band in the club was playing. The music would be non-stop. As soon as Laura and Fletch sat at the table, a waiter brought a bottle of whiskey with a marked strip of tape down its side, a pitcher of water, a bucket of ice, and many glasses.
What did you tell the waiter? Fletch asked through the sound of the drums. That the tap dancers are coming.
They're that famous?
Everyone loves the tap dancers.
They're sleek.
Yes, they're sleek.
In a moment they appeared in the door. Each wore the mask of a cat over his face. There were four girls with them. Even without making noise, they soon had everyone's attention. They began to sniff up and down the walls, along the tables, through a foreign lady's bouffant, curious about everything, until they found their own table. Even the man who was singing at the moment laughed. The sound of his laughter through the amplifier in the middle of a song was delightful. As the cat-like tap dancers found their table and sat down, even those who were dancing applauded them. One squeezed in beside Fletch and took off his mask. Tonino. Fletch expressed the appreciation of having been tricked that he had learned was appropriate in Brazil. Fletch said, Laura suspects you make big entrances on purpose. Smiling, face flashing even in the near dark, Tonino took off his buccaneer's hat.
What's fun?
Fletch said.
What's fun? Moving.
Tonino looked at his hand on the table, directing Fletch's attention to it. He raised and lowered his ring finger.
That's fun, he said.
He raised his ring finger, little finger, and thumb, and lowered them.
That's more fun.
Then his hand on the table became terrifically animated, the fingers fluttering, doing their own crazy dance, the hand itself becoming some sort of a crazed rabbit trying to keep up its own wild beat. Watching it, Tonino laughed.
That's most fun.
Have you ever had experience with paralysis? Fletch asked. Have you ever been paralyzed? Tonino's big brown eyes swelled.
I have the wisdom to know that one day I will be.
Introductions to the girls were made. Fletch got none of their names right over the sound of the music. They clearly were glad and impressed to be there, to hear such good music, have access to the scotch. Fletch calculated it had taken the tap dancers less than 10 minutes to find these girls.
Tonino, Flett said, why would the hotel maid place a small carved stone toad under my bed?
A toad?
A frog.
Was there a frog under your bed?
Yes, there still is.
How do you know?
I found it while I was looking for my shoe.
Tonino's eyes twinkled.
What did you do with it?
I put it back.
That's good.
Tonino shed his cape then and took a girl dancing to the dance floor. For a while they all danced. The music was marvelous. Rather, Fletch danced. The Brazilians, including Laura, simply continued their being Brazilian, keeping the rhythm of the constant music anyway, their constant rhythmical movements anyway, onto the dance floor where they simply glided into full reaction to the music. A young girl in leather jeans and a jersey, which did not make it to the top of her jeans, began to sing. She was extraordinarily good. They all sat at the table to listen to her. The tape which ran down the side of the whiskey bottle was marked off in ounces. To calculate the bill, the waiter counted the ounces of whiskey missing from the bottle and charged them for that. The tap dancer's girls moved the whiskey level down the tape with happy alacrity. The band did not stop when the girl put the microphone back on its stand. Everyone stood to cheer her, and she danced into the dark at the back of the nightclub. One of the tap dancer's girls, who had been staring at Laura, finally asked in Portuguese,
"Are you Laura Soares, the pianist?"
"I play piano."
Tito was sitting across from Fletch.
"How do you people know about Jânio Barreto?" Fletch asked him. "About your being Jânio Barreto?"
Tito seemed to be correcting him.
"About that incident this afternoon."
"Is it not something to know?"
Tito's face was handsome and happy, too, but his eyes could not have Tonino's sparkle.
"How did you hear of it?"
Tito leaned forward across the table.
"We're all very eager to hear what you will have to say."
"About what?"
"About how you came to die. Who murdered you?"
"Tito, Tito, am I never to get sensible answers?"
"Tell me one thing, Jânio."
"Don't call me Jânio."
"Fletch, how do you think you came to be in Brazil?"
"I'm a newspaper man from California. I had an airplane ticket."
"How did you come to have the airplane ticket?"
"Sort of by accident."
"You see?"
"No, I don't see."
"Look around this room."
Without moving his head, Tito shot his eyes all the way to the left and moved them slowly in a straight line all the way to the right. There was something spooky in this controlled use of his eye muscles.
"Do you see others here like you?"
"What do you mean?"
Mostly the room was full of young Brazilians, a few older Argentinians, the foreign lady with her large bouffant and small escort.
"Other newspapermen from California who had an airplane ticket and came here sort of by accident."
"Tito."
"No, you are here."
"Why was I born?"
"Maybe that too."
Tito sat back.
"Now that you know what you must do, you will never rest until you do it."
"What must I do?"
"Tell us who murdered you.
Murder is the most serious crime."
"Tito."
A conspiracy of girls yanked Tito dancing. Fletch finally poured himself a scotch and water and sat back.